101.1 FM WHSM Hayward, Muskie 101.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
The biggest barrier facing blind people isn't their vision loss, it's society's crushing low expectations of them, according to the National Association of the Blind. Their mission is to break down the barriers that many blind people face in America.
Usually the big hurdle is convincing employers that blind people can do the job with minimal accommodations that don't cost very much.
Then, military spouses are missing out on critical support programs that could help them deal with personal struggles in challenging times.
Those friends and family members are the ones and the really informal ways that military spouses need assistance while a service member is deployed.
Those two stories and more are straight ahead on this edition of InfoTrack, right after this.
Think about it. You take thousands of steps every day. Shouldn't every single one of them feel amazing? Well, with ArchFit hands-free Skechers slip-ins, they can. Skechers teamed up with podiatrists to design a shoe that provides amazing arch support for all-day comfort. And best of all, you get all this comfort, stability, and support with the ease of Skechers slip-ins technology. Just slip them on. There's no bending down and no struggling to tie your shoes. Just step in and go. Try ArchFit hands-free Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever comfortable footwear is sold.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Every day we make choices. But on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Prize Picks is the best place to put your takes to the test. Plus, the app is simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projections, and if you're right, you could win big. So who do you think is going to throw for more passing yards, Jared Goff or Jordan Love? If your picks hit, you can cash in. All transactions on the Prize Picks app are fast, safe, and secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code SUNDAY and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. For real. That's code SUNDAY on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 in lineups just for playing. Guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
For more than 80 years, the National Federation of the Blind has been the nation's leading voice for blind Americans. And today we're joined by Chris Danielson, spokesman for the National Federation of the Blind. For listeners who may not know, what is the mission of the National Federation of the Blind?
Well, the National Federation of the Blind, as our name says, is an organization of blind people. We advance the lives of our members because we are a membership organization and of all blind people in the United States. Now, we have a particular philosophy which says that blindness is not the characteristic that defines a person or their future. And our mission is to combat low expectations, because really the problem that blind people have is that society has low expectations of what we're able to do. And those low expectations really create the barriers, not our blindness itself.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions about blindness that you'd like to clear up?
Well, I guess one of the most basic ones is that it's impossible for blind people to really do much of anything. It's hard for sighted people to appreciate, but the questions that I routinely get asked on a daily basis just are mind-boggling. I get asked whether and how I can cook for myself and how I manage to dress myself every day. And this really happens. If I go for a walk and I'm using my white cane, people will walk up to me and instead of saying hello or isn't it a nice day, they will say, where are you trying to go? As if they assume that I'm perpetually lost. So that's kind of what we're dealing with.
Many people assume blindness means a complete loss of vision, but there's a spectrum of vision loss. Can you talk about that?
I absolutely can. As a matter of fact, most blind people are not totally blind. I happen to be, but most blind people have some degree of eyesight. It's just that it is eyesight that is not particularly useful to them for one reason or another. Maybe they don't have peripheral vision, so they essentially have tunnel vision, or maybe there are other issues. Maybe they just have an extreme sensitivity to light where their eyes work pretty well, but they're so light sensitive that their eyes hurt too much and they can't handle that. Some people even have something called cortical blindness where the eyes work, but the brain isn't able to process the images properly. So although it seems like they would be able to see functionally, they can't. So there's really thousands of potential causes of blindness, and there is a spectrum of what blind people are able to see. Now, there is a legal definition of blindness, and that's traditionally 20/200, but generally there can be quite a wide range of visual acuity within that.
Our guest is Chris Danielson, spokesman for the National Federation of the Blind. Chris, technology is moving quickly. Are there new tools that are making a big difference for blind Americans today?
Absolutely. There have been for a long time, but I think we're really seeing an exponential shift. Just like in all other areas of technology, there's a lot of talk in the blindness community about AI now. And AI is really allowing some things that we haven't seen before, including the ability for me, for example, to take a picture with my phone and have that picture described to me in pretty granular detail. So I can use that function for anything from just getting a general description of a scene to getting directions off a package for food that I want to cook to reading my mail. There are really any number of uses for it. And along with the technology that we've had for years, the text-to-speech technology and things like that, it's really enhancing our independence a lot. That said, it has its limitations. Particularly in AI, we have to worry a little bit about hallucinations. I have had AI apps identify things that aren't there or misread things, so proceed with caution is always a good strategy.
Education is a big focus of your work at the National Federation of the Blind. What challenges do blind students face in schools?
Mainly it's equal access to the information that all of their classmates can access. You know, everything's digital nowadays, and in theory that should level the playing field, but there's a lot of inaccessible digital technology. And when we say that, what we essentially mean is that it doesn't work with the access technology that blind people use in order to read the content of websites and applications and so forth. And of course, print books have never been accessible to us, but if they're formatted properly as electronic files nowadays, they can be accessible and we can get them translated into Braille almost in an instant. But for example, it has to be an actual electronic copy of the text. It can't be a scanned image of the pages of a book, because that is really just an image that we can't see. And although AI is getting better at it, it can't quite render that image and the text in that image in a way that's consistently good enough for us to use it to study with.
Chris, employment for people who are blind is still a hurdle. What steps are being taken to open more career opportunities for the blind?
Well, we have a lot of employment initiatives. We try to work directly with as many employers as we can. Usually the big hurdle is convincing employers that blind people can do the job with, you know, often very limited, minimal accommodations that don't cost very much, if any at all. And so it's just a matter of overcoming those attitudinal barriers that I talked about, but also just the concern about how much technology might cost or different things to make the work environment fully accessible to the employee.
The white cane, it is such a powerful symbol. Can you talk about its importance?
Sure. It is a powerful symbol. It lets the world know that a person is blind and that they're moving, and therefore alerts that we can't necessarily see vehicles and so forth. But it's also a tool. It's what really allows blind people, and guide dogs as well, if that's a blind person's choice. It's what really allows a blind person to move independently. So a cane isn't just to alert others. It's what we use to feel our way through our environment, in a sense, extending our sense of touch so that we're able to detect obstacles and navigate around them and detect drop-offs and generally keep ourselves safe and able to move independently.
As we wrap this up, do you have any last words for our listeners about the Federation or anything else regarding the blind?
Well, if you'd like to learn more about us or find out ways that you can help, we are the National Federation of the Blind, and you can visit our website at nfb.org, and we hope that you'll reach out to us.
Well, our thanks to Chris Danielson from the National Federation of the Blind for joining us today. Thanks again, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Next, support for military spouses. That story as InfoTrack continues.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.
When you bundle renters and auto with Progressive, you can save while protecting your most valuable possessions, like your priceless vinyl collection. Sure, you sleep on a futon because the money most people would have spent on a bed you spent on more records. But forget the fact that you can stream just about any song ever created for a few dollars a month. No, no, you need to listen to music in the most difficult way possible. So go ahead and get Progressive so you can save while protecting the things that matter to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
You know that expression, put a little spring in your step? Well, whoever said it must have been talking about GlideStep hands-free Skechers slip-ins. Because with GlideStep, you get a pillow-like soft landing, then an explosive takeoff. It makes walking feel effortless. So springy, it's almost like you're floating. And speaking of effortless, have you tried hands-free Skechers slip-ins technology? Just step in and instantly your shoes are on. No bending down and no touching. Try GlideStep hands-free Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Every day we make choices. But on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Prize Picks is the best place to put your takes to the test. Plus, the app is simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projections, and if you're right, you could win big. So who do you think is going to throw for more passing yards, Jared Goff or Jordan Love? If your picks hit, you can cash in. All transactions on the Prize Picks app are fast, safe, and secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Sunday and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. For real. That's code Sunday on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 in lineups just for playing. Guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
A balanced look at today's most important issues. This is InfoTrack. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Transitioning from military service to civilian life can be challenging. Support programs exist, but they're often underutilized, mainly due to lack of awareness. InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey has the story. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Leanne Knobloch is a professor in the Department of Communication at the University of Illinois. And she led this study that measured the number of military spouses who participated in a formal reintegration program after their partners returned from deployment. Professor, first, tell us about these formal reintegration programs and what they offer to service members.
Well, there's quite a variety, but these programs can range from workshops, seminars, support groups, educational podcasts, and things like that. We didn't assess the particular programs that people participated in, but we do know that the military offers a variety of programs that military spouses can participate in if they choose to.
So tell us the major headlines from your study.
We were surprised that only 16.5% of spouses reported participating in any kind of formal reintegration program upon reunion. We thought that number would be quite a bit higher, but it turns out that most spouses indicated that they did not participate in that formal reintegration program.
Were you surprised at that very low rate?
We were disappointed because there are some good high-quality programs out there, but they're not always accessible in individual locations, and they're not always available to spouses who might need them. So coverage across the country is a concern, but it's particularly telling when only 16.5% of spouses said that they did participate in such a program.
Did you find anything in particular that predicted whether someone would participate in a reintegration program?
Yes. People said that a lack of time was a barrier for them participating. If they were female, if they were employed outside the home, if their service member was on a combat mission, and if they had more children at home. So these specific barriers to participating in a formal reintegration are important because we can tailor the advertising strategies and the outreach efforts to these groups of people who may find a lack of time to be a big barrier to participating in a program. We also found that people who had more children were more likely to endorse a lack of childcare as a barrier for participating in a formal reintegration program, right? That makes sense. And so childcare, helping people make the time for these programs, those are all ways that we can lessen barriers for participating in these programs and help military spouses get the support they need.
What did you learn about why informal support networks like family and friends and neighbors seem to be more effective or at least more used than formal programs?
Our goal in the study was to compare across formal reintegration programs, but then also formal and informal support services during deployment itself. And we found that far and away, the most frequently used source of support was informal support from coworkers, neighbors, friends, and family during deployment. They were used much more frequently than a reintegration program upon reunion or any kind of formal support services during deployment, like support groups or community services or a primary care provider, mental health provider, chaplain. And we think that that's the case because those friends and family members are the ones in the trenches with the military family, and they clearly are stepping up to provide some support for probably things like childcare, transportation, emotional support, and the really informal ways that military spouses need assistance while a service member is deployed.
Did you find any difference in outcomes between those who relied on informal support versus these formal programs?
Yes, we found that spouses who received more informal support during deployment reported better marital quality upon reintegration, better mental health upon reintegration, and better social functioning upon reintegration. Interestingly, we did not find that formal support during deployment or participating in a reintegration program upon reunion predicted any of those outcomes. So really, the informal support was the most frequently used, and it seemed to be the most helpful.
We're talking with Professor Leanne Knobloch from the University of Illinois. She recently led a study that measured the number of military spouses who participated in a formal reintegration program after their partners returned from military deployment. I understand you found that many spouses said they weren't even aware of these reintegration services at all. What are the problems regarding how the military communicates with families?
Our findings showed that about 45.4% of military spouses were not aware that there even was a formal reintegration program in the area that they could participate in. Untangling why that number is so high is a little bit difficult based on our data, because it's possible that some spouses were in areas where there truly was no program, but it's also possible that they were not aware of the services that existed. And if that's the case, our policy implications are for military command and military supporting organizations to work extra hard to get the word out about these valuable support services so that they are on the radars of spouses and spouses can take advantage of them. We suspect that sometimes the service member knows about these programs, but the word doesn't trickle down through the family to the spouse. And so if that's the case, then targeted advertising strategies directly to military spouses may be helpful, or just stronger encouragement from command and leadership. Like, hey, these programs have the capacity to be super helpful. We want you to be aware of them and we want you to use them.
You found some specific demographic groups seem to be more underserved than others. Tell us about that and what you think might explain those disparities.
We found a couple of different groups of people who seem to be underserved in these resources. And so gaps in support seem to exist, especially among military spouses of enlisted personnel and those military spouses who were unemployed, and also those military spouses from Hispanic communities. And so we point to these three groups and suggest that targeted interventions for these three groups might help with outreach to get these folks better able to take advantage of the resources that are available.
What role do you think civilian communities, workplaces, schools, churches could play in strengthening support for military spouses?
That's a great question. We found that far and away the most frequently used source of support during deployment and the most effective source of support during deployment came from extended family, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. Some of these people are likely to be military connected themselves, and they're affected by the service member's deployment as well. But we also anticipate that at least some of these people are civilians, civilian neighbors, civilian friends, civilian coworkers, civilian family members. And not all civilians are fully aware of the pressures of deployment and how much effort it takes to support a family during that time. And so we hope that our findings highlight the importance of civilian communities educating themselves about the pressure of deployment and how they can best support their military-connected friends, family members, coworkers, and neighbors. And sort of bridging that civilian-military divide might really help position those civilian informal caregivers to offer even better support.
Professor Leanne Knobloch from the University of Illinois, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Every day we make choices. But on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Prize Picks is the best place to put your takes to the test. Plus, the app is simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projections, and if you're right, you could win big. So who do you think is going to throw for more passing yards, Jared Goff or Jordan Love? If your picks hit, you can cash in. All transactions on the Prize Picks app are fast, safe, and secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Sunday and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. For real. That's code Sunday on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 in lineups just for playing. Guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
We often read about famous entrepreneurs like Steve Jobs, but rarely do we hear about the thousands of just regular folks who are entrepreneurs trying to do their best and live life on their own terms. Well, joining us on the show today is Robin Bairstock, who's the author of Adventures of Women Entrepreneurs, Stories That Inspire. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, your story is part of this, and I'm wondering if we could start off with just hearing a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are.
Well, I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit, and while working full-time jobs, I would be starting businesses on the side, but nothing became full-time until I saw the potential in copper mugs. I had my first drink out of a copper mug and thought so many more restaurants and bars and households could have them. This was about 5.5 years ago before they became a trend. And so I started importing them from India, and they were selling really well and quickly became a really big trend for people to drink Moscow Mules. I don't know if you've had a Moscow Mule in a copper mug before, but it enhances the flavors and makes drinking the cocktail a lot more fun. So I built that business and expanded the product line to 100 other copper products. And while I was growing the business, it was very exciting to see sales grow and grow. But in the end, the sales and the money coming in wasn't what excited me. It was when people told me that my story inspired them. So I knew that the next thing I wanted to do was something related to inspiring people.
That's a great story. Another one of the great stories you have is a woman named Jenny Dorsey, who, I love this. She says, my mother wanted a sweet, submissive, soft-spoken, family-oriented daughter. My father wanted an ambitious, smart, successful, financially stable career woman. I guess that's common to have conflicting expectations upon you, especially for female entrepreneurs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of pressure and a lot that we all have to balance in life.
Several years ago, I interviewed a woman who started a business at her kitchen table and it became a multi-million dollar business. And she said, people told me at the beginning I was crazy. Is that a common reaction that people get when they're starting out?
I think so, it is. But I don't think she's crazy at all. I think it's great that she's following her passion and living the life she wants to live.
Erin Janklow, I'm hopefully pronouncing that right, and this chapter is titled The Importance of Authenticity. Could you talk about that one?
Yeah, she was in a graduate program and had a little conflict with one of her group members who tried to tell her the way that she should act as a woman, and she didn't agree with him and continued to strongly speak her opinions and has built a really great business through that program. She provides hardware for hospitality workers to learn English while they're working. So while they're cleaning hotel rooms, they can be practicing their English by wearing a headset. It's a really revolutionary idea, I think.
She says she worked at TripAdvisor and also has an MBA. So, you know, you can be an entrepreneur, I guess, with great education and corporate background, but also just come out of high school and be successful, right?
Yeah, she has a great education, but not everybody in the book has been that lucky. People come from all different types of backgrounds and adversity, and they've all overcome challenges in their own way.
For women who are listening and thinking, well, these stories are great, I would like to have that happen to me. What kind of advice would you have for somebody who is thinking of it or maybe struggling at the beginning?
My advice is not to fear failure, to learn to embrace it. So many people don't get started because they're worried about the possible negative outcomes, but every successful entrepreneur and inventor has experienced failure often many times, and really failure just means that you're one step closer to being where you want to be. And another thing is that I encourage people to not be concerned about making money. I think it's just as important to have your personal freedom and be doing what you're passionate about, and the money will come second. I said it earlier, but embrace failure. Learn to talk about it. Instead of asking how your day was, you could ask about what have you failed at recently.
Well, the book is Adventures of Women Entrepreneurs, Stories That Inspire. Robin Bairstock is the author. Robin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been great to be here. I appreciate you having me.
That'll do it for this edition of InfoTrack. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting.
Thanks for listening. Join us next time for another edition of InfoTrack.
Slamming rubber, squealing gears, a jamming local country station, just a blaring on a radio. Pick him up at 7 and they're heading to the rodeo. Mama's on the front porch screaming out her warning, girl, you better get your red head back in bed before the morning. Clock show is in, but the fun is just beginning. She knows he's anticipating, but she's gonna keep him waiting. Grab a bite to eat, and then they're heading to the honky tonk. Loud crowds and line dancing just ain't what they really want. Drive out to the boondocks and park down by the creek, yeah, where it's George Strait real late and dancing cheek to cheek. Ain't going down till the sun comes up. Ain't giving in till they get enough. Go around the world in a pickup truck. Starts a hard romance at 1 o'clock. That truck is rocking, 2 is coming, still no stopping. Break to check the clock at 3, they're right on where they want to be. In 4 o'clock, get up, get going, 5 o'clock, at Rooster's Crow. Saturday, her folks don't know he's on his way. The stalls are clean, the horse is fed. They say she's grounded till she's dead. Well, here he comes around the bend, slowing down, she's jumping in. Hey, mom, your daughter's gone, and there they go again.
I told you on the day we went, I I was gonna love you till I was dead. Made you wait till our wedding night. That's the first and the last time I'll wear white. So if the ties and bonds ever do come loose, tie them in a knot like a hangman's noose. Cause I'll go to heaven or I'll go to hell before I'll see you with someone else. Put me in the ground, put me 6 foot down.
Yeah. it's all right by me. Oh yeah, it's all right by me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. La 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 la. Oh.
We're the one that didn't get away. Muskie 101. Muskie 101.
We were all down at Margie's bar, telling stories if we had one. Someone fired the old jukebox up. The song it sure was a sad one. Teardrop rolled down Bubba's nose from the pain the song was inflicting. And all at once he jumped to his feet, just like somebody kicked him. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a .45.
not draw an easy breath till he laid that Colt on the table. He hung his head till the cops showed up. He dragged him right out of Marge's. They told him, don't you play dumb with us, son. You know damn well what the charge is. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Well, he shot the jukebox last night. When the sheriff arrived with his bathrobe on, the confrontation was a tense one. He shook his head and said, Bubba, boy, you was always a dense one. A reckless discharge of a gun, that's what the officers are claiming. Bubba hollered out, reckless hell, I hit just where I was aiming. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Well, he shot the jukebox, stopped with one shot. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Well, he could not tell right from wrong through the teardrops in his eyes. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, it was a justifiable homicide.
I've been a walking heartache, I've made a mess of me. The person that I've been lately ain't who I want to be. But you stay here right beside me and watch as a storm blows through. And I need you, 'cause God gave me you for the ups and downs.
Going out.
The best country.
101.1.
Muskie 101.
Yeah. Well, it's a long way from Star, Mississippi, to the big stage I'm singing on tonight. And sometimes the butterflies still get me when I'm in the spotlight. And some people seem to think that I've changed, that I'm different than I was back then. But in my soul, I know that I'm the same way. A Mississippi girl don't change her ways just 'cause everybody knows her name. Ain't big headed from a little bit of fame. I still like wearing my old ball cap, riding my kids around piggyback. They might know me all around the world. But y'all, I'm still a Mississippi girl. Put my face on the big movie screen, but that don't mean I've forgotten where I came from. That's just me chasing dreams, yeah. 'Cause a Mississippi girl don't change her ways just 'cause everybody knows her name. Ain't big headed from a little bit of fame. Just 'cause everybody knows her name, ain't big headed from a little bit of fame. Still like wearing my old ball cap, riding my kids around piggyback. They might know me all around this world. That's alright, 'cause y'all, I'm still Mississippi girl, yeah. Mississippi girl.
FM Muskie 101.
I didn't know if we were over or just on the rise. Was me thinking I could save us, just a mirage. I was burning up a highway that kept getting longer. With every turn of these tires, she just kept getting goner. And the sky was showing no signs of rain. Ain't nothing to lay in that plane. I'm racing through the desert, thinking I could catch her, but losing ground in this Chevrolet. And it's 747, somewhere between here and heaven. And heaven knows I let her slip away. Showed up and she's gone. Guess I got to Tucson too late. I wonder if she sat there stirring vodka with a straw. Was she counting down the seconds
or maybe having second thoughts and was moving all made up in her mind. Would she changed it if she knew that I was racing through the desert, thinking I could catch her, but losing ground in this Chevrolet. And it's 7:47, somewhere between here and heaven, and heaven knows I let her slip away. I showed up and she's gone, guess I got to do something today. Racing through the desert, thinking I could catch her, but losing ground in this Chevrolet. It's 7:47, somewhere between here and heaven. Heaven knows I let her slip away. I showed up and she's gone. Guess I waited too long, like a sad country song. Damn, I got to Tucson too late, too late. Oh, I got the Tucson too late.
Bobby played his guitar on the harder side of town, where it's hard for a poor boy to find the money. He had dedication, he had the heart and soul, somehow knew he was born to play. People said, get a real job, support your family, 'cause there's no future in the road you're taking. Never said a word, the dreamer just kept on. Late at night you could hear him sing. He said, I'm gonna be somebody. One of these days I'm gonna break these chains. I'm gonna be somebody. Top. But now he's number one on the stage and the radio. Still he can't believe how people come from miles around, when it seemed like only yesterday. He would say, I'm gonna be somebody. Front row